Welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature Interview. Today I have a fabulous guest with a really long title of her film, so give me a second. Compassionate Karen in the Big Bad World. Faith Murphy is the creator of this fabulous short. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, creating. I mean, obviously it's a short about a Karen. I mean, I know what creating is there, but how did you feed into that? How did you build off the Karen myth?
Yeah, honestly, it started with me entering a new age bracket, going into stores and experiencing being preemptively decided that I was a Karen, and having service people kind of make assumptions about me before they ever spoke to me, and finding that was really uncomfortable. And finding myself doing things to go over nice just to make sure that they didn't think that I was one by the end of the conversation. So it kind of just started me thinking, well, wow, what, you know, this is like a whole phenomenon, like this whole idea of a Karen, and rightly so, they should be criticized for their public behavior. But is there any more to these women? Like, can we pick up the rock and look underneath and see what else is there? Like, you know, what makes these women tick? Like, do they actually have families? Do they have people that love them? Do they have spouses and children? And you know, is there any redeeming quality in these women? And can we bridge social gaps is kind of an underlying message to do through comedy. And also, can we grow some self-awareness for those Karens out there?
So when you were creating your Karen, I mean, I must presume besides watching TikTok videos or Facebook videos, how much deep did you go into your characters? You have a whole list of written out, or is just you're like, nope, this is what we're going to do when you're thinking about the process?
About preparing once we had the script, you mean?
Yeah, and before script. I'm talking concept level. I mean, did you do research on this, or you knew what you were getting at just by the way you were treated?
Yeah, no, and I will say everybody has a Karen story. All I have to do is people ask me what I'm up to, and I just say we're noodling with this idea of a Karen. They either are one, they were raised by one, or they are one, they're raised by one, or they have one that they work with. That was a huge one too. Yeah, yeah. So there were no shortage of stories, but actually, I have a funny story about. I'm gonna turn my email off. I'm sorry, turn off. The actual storyline in ours. This actually happened at our first creation meeting when I sat down with the writer and the line producer. We didn't even really know each other that well, but we went to a restaurant and sat down. And it's kind of like a first date. We don't really know each other. We're feeling each other out, you know, whatever. And as we're just getting started, the last person was late, of course. And we sit down and the waiter asked us to move. And it was an empty restaurant. And the waiter asked us to move because the owner was there and that's his family table. So actually, that's actually what happened to us. And so we read it into the script. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to get to that later, but we'll get there. I want to go back to that point. So yeah. I want to discuss, as soon as the short starts off, the first note I made is Karen's outfits, because you really take us to two locations. Did you work on that? Because she definitely looks like a Karen even before she's opened her mouth.
Yeah,
she has
sure.
A very distinct look. Is that what you're going for?
Everything was intentional. She's tight. She's a control freak who's not doing so well in her social environment. Right. So everything is groomed and tight and pulled back, and the clothes are well fitting and tight and uncomfortable. And we wanted to do a juxtaposition to the therapist who is loose and free and fluid. That was very, very intentional. Yeah.
Well, how is that as an actor? I mean, I'm looking at you now, and I presume this is you casual at home.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how much like Karen's outfit would you wear normally? None? Like, that must have been very uncomfortable for you, but even seen in public like that.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you know, some pieces from my wardrobe that I would never have put together. You know, like a turtleneck with a half zip, like, you know, that definitely was... And it was uncomfortable because everything was very tight and pulled back. The hair was uncomfortable. It was just really pulled back tightly. And then down to the chair that she sits in is very uncomfortable because she can't control it. There's nothing to control in a beanbag. So we tried to give her every situation that would make life uncomfortable. And it all does come back to her need for control.
Okay, I want to go back to what you just said about the control.
Yeah.
Does Karen ever have control in this show? I feel she has no control at all.
Well, and if you think about, I mean, like, you could do a deep dive. We have a Bible with three, if this were to blow out into series, which we're hoping it does, we have 3 seasons worth of story ideas. There's no shortage. And there's always 2 sides to a story. So sometimes it's her fault. But the control issue, I think, does come back to, in my opinion, I think some Karens, this one in particular, was probably cute in her 20s. You know, she probably had guys buying her drinks at the bar, right? And now she can't get service. Well, she doesn't feel like she's changed. She still feels like the same person, but things have changed. And all of the customer service that has to be done for her family, she's the one that does it. So she has fatigue for all of the interactions that don't go smoothly that are out of her control. Her kids are growing up and they don't need her as much. And that's out of her control. You know, her husband's schedule. All of the things that she maybe used to have a little bit of a tighter rein on, including her physical body, is all out of her control. So I really don't think she does, as much as any of us really have control in our lives, right? I mean, it's all a facade.
I'm going to get more into the short, don't worry. I just have one last question. I had lots, a big lot of things anything. I was thinking of here. Yeah. The names of the people, meaning the Karen and the therapist, had very distinct names.
Yes.
Was Shauna that on Love. Purpose? Yeah, yeah. Shauna Love. I thought was like, oh, that's interesting because Karen, I can't remember her last name off the top of my head.
Right. Yeah. She's very fluid. She's, you know, almost this earthy, you know, hippie kind of therapist. She's very in tune with the earth and flowing and letting things be as they're going to be. What a hilarious match, a court appointed match for this Karen who needs things to be tidy, wants things to be orderly. Wants to feel like she's in control of something.
Okay, so let's get in. I do want to discuss a little bit of set design.
Sure.
Because I definitely felt between the therapist's office and the restaurant, you had 2 different ideas in mind. Like the therapist office obviously gave her a big, big chair, which I've never seen in a therapist's office. But you've already explained to me that makes her uncomfortable. Now, is the therapist supposed to make her uncomfortable too? Because I feel she does.
Absolutely. And the chair that the therapist in is a hanging egg chair. So it's, you know, it's got movement to it just on its own. But it's also elevated above the beanbag. So it wasn't eye to eye, really. She was looking down at Karen just a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Now, in the restaurant for your set design, did you change anything about that? I do notice you put the logo of the restaurant pretty much right behind you all the time in the shot. I couldn't get the name of the restaurant. I apologize. I did try to read off the menu because I did notice you had their menus.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's 55 South. It's a local restaurant here in Nashville.
I was trying to give them some food, but I could not see the name. I did try a few times to read them. Like, I give up.
Well, they were wonderful to work with. And the sign that you see in the short is actually unintentional. It just happened to be that was this the perfect table, the perfect shot, had a lot of glass on one side. So that natural light helped us out a lot. So, yeah.
Okay. So how'd you get the restaurant? Let's start there.
Man, that was luck. Because we were really starting to stress over location. You know, a lot of people just don't want to give you a location, even to rent it. There was a hotel that was next to 55 South, and I'd gone in there. We thought they had a perfect setup. They had this breakfasty area. We thought we could make it like a diner feel. And the guy freaked out. I mean, the manager, bless him. He just freaked out when I just even mentioned shooting something in there. He's like, we don't do that. We don't do that. So I was coming out of there like, oh, just where are we going to shoot this? And I was like, you know, 55 South has great windows. Like, I'm just going to go over there. And they have really high ceilings, which, of course, is great to shoot in. I went in there and talked to the manager. He is so nice. He is such a nice man and was just game. He was game to play. And he was a creative collaborator, I will say. That was one of those yeses that just dovetailed in with all the other yeses that made this happen. We shot it in one day, by the way.
Okay. So hold on. You shot this in one day. So where's the location for the therapist?
The therapist and the waiting room were in the same location. So that was easy. And then the restaurant was 2 miles away.
Okay. So not bad. Not bad.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting
it. Yeah, about half each location. It was a lot. We did 15 pages in one day. I'm pretty proud of that.
It was a lot. Yeah, now, I can hear people that haven't seen this short. I want them to know your accent is not quite Karen's accent. It's no. A little more softer. Did you work on your Karen accent?
Well, I am originally from Texas, and I live in Nashville. So one thing I learned very quickly moving to Nashville is the Southern sweet. And when I went to my high school reunion, even my high school mates pointed out, you talk sugary. I can't talk. So, you know, there's a real softness that comes with living in the South. Okay. And you can offend someone, say the most offensive thing you want to while you're smiling.
It's okay. Possible. I want to start at the beginning of the short. Now, I will give Karen full credit. I don't think she's being rude, ever.
Yeah.
And is that what you wanted to come off, that Karen is the victim here? And I really felt she was the victim. Well, I don't think she did anything wrong.
I think that the interesting thing, and not that there's a right or wrong on either side, we are all so used to the YouTube videos of Karens losing their bananas, right? At their absolute worst moments in their life, probably captured on video and then blasted for everyone to see. I don't think any of us would want to sign up to have that done, you know, to us. All that to say, they're responsible for their own actions and words always. But can we take a deeper dive? Is there anything redemptive about these Karens on the videos? Some of them, maybe not. But I just thought it was an interesting enough idea to look at the underbelly of Karen and what that is in our culture. And is there any redemption for her life? Are there people that love her? Is she ever nice? Do things ever provoke her? And I think the answer is probably yes. There are always things that lead up to a bad behavior, you know, as well as a good behavior. It was just an interesting look.
But I would argue that waiter was out to get her off the beginning.
Well, and I think there is something to the phenomenon of Karen that people are assumed guilty before
because when he comes, all she wants to do is order a drink.
Right.
And you never get your drink in the short. She never gets it.
Oh, she gets it. She gets the water with the lemon.
No, but that's not what I would argue. That's not what she tried to order the first time the waiter came over.
Right. Well, he definitely had a prejudice against her from the get-go, for sure.
Even 100%.
Saying, you know, her name is literally Karen.
I know that. And I just thought, because she had looked at the menu.
Yeah.
And she wanted to order the drink, and he's like, not now. And I'm like, I would have lost it too at that point. And I was like, on her side. I'm like, no, I'm okay with her. Right now, yeah. I'm totally comfortable with Karen, because I would have got annoyed.
Well, if we didn't do that, then it wouldn't be a very interesting short.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
that's the nuance.
The cut of the lemon. She is very particular to a point. Have this happened to you at some kind, or you just really felt this need to be hammered?
Yeah, see, but that's, I think that's what is so funny about it. I really do think it's funny because it's another way she's trying to have some control. Her children are canceling on her. Husband's not paying attention to her. She feels abandoned. She's here alone in this restaurant. It's supposed to be family night or family lunch. You know, I think that's her last ditch effort to try to have control.
Okay. Now, I'm going to get even more into this. Did you freeze?
That's why it's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, the precision with which she asked for the lemon. It's because she has no control over anything else. And she's very upset. She's sad.
The movements of you as Karen look very meticulous.
Yeah.
Now, did you go over? You only shot this in one day. So how many shots did you have? So did you practice ahead of time? Because she's very meticulous. I would say folding the menu, grabbing the water, everything she does is almost meticulous to a point. So how much did you practice?
There's no practice. On those, there were no rehearsals. I just knew who she was. I was locked in. I came locked and loaded. The preparation came before it, but it wasn't practice on her tics or whatever. It was on the day being dropped into who she was and this is the outpouring of how she felt, how she, you know, managed everything, her purse, her phone, the nails, everything just was kind of intuitive.
Now, David, the waiter, did he have a special direction? Like, if you didn't rehearse this much, did somebody give a direction? Just come on, like the biggest dick on the planet.
You know, we actually played with it all sorts of ways. We rehearsed more, on the other location. When we got to the restaurant, we were just ready to lock and load and get going. But we did do a lot of takes, and we gave him the freedom to play with it. And sometimes he was trying to be nice, and it just was way funnier when he wasn't.
Oh, I agree. I don't want him to be nice. I don't think you have a conflict.
Specific direction except for who he knows, who he assumes that I am, and what I'm asking for, and how many other Karens he's dealt with this week that have asked for ridiculous things and made his job difficult. So that's what he had. That's what he just kind of came in ready to play. And that's what we did. We just played. And we played off each other.
Since you've already answered my question, the owner of the restaurant make you move. Would you have moved personally? I would have been like, pardon?
Well, and I told you that really did happen. And
yes. Did you move?
We did, but we were really, I mean, it was an empty restaurant. It was so weird. We're getting our things and we're standing up, and I just went, okay. And of course we're talking about a Karen. So I felt like I really couldn't be one, but the guy who wrote it, who has a Karen inside of him deep down, he was like, you know, this is ridiculous.
It's good. Cause I would have said the same thing.
Yeah. But we moved, but I think it was more because it was our first meeting and we were trying to make nice, but we moved. We did.
I don't think I could have done it. I'd be like, see, I'm leaving that. I would have just packed up and gone.
We had just ordered food. Like, we had, I mean, it was just, no, it was.
I have, maybe that's my inner Karen would have said, okay, see you later. I would have just got up and left.
Right.
My food right in the table and said, you know what, I'm going somewhere else, and left.
Yeah. And if this Karen, if that would have happened to her first instead of last, maybe she wouldn't have snapped. Maybe it wouldn't have been the straw, the last straw for her. But
I'm getting there. I want to get. Okay. So when Karen has her moment,
yeah,
I will. Everybody in the restaurant is recording her. I did notice that at one point, there's one person in your shot that's a little slow. I can even tell you which person pulled up their phone last.
Not that you care. I don't know if I can tell you that.
The person behind you, there's a couple.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is the last one to pull up the phone.
Interesting.
Yeah. So not that anybody needs to know that, but if you watched the short, she's the last one. Now, was it always planned everybody was going to pull out cell phones, or was there different shots? And I'll get to my next point after.
Yeah. No, the idea was, yeah, pull out. And most of that's not their phones. They were, you know, everybody on cruise, so that we had. I think there were maybe a couple that they did use their own phones, and we got the footage from them right then and there and then deleted it. But the idea was, yes, everybody, oh, you see it coming. This is what we do in our culture. As soon as you see it unfolding, you record it.
But.
Yeah.
At this point, I still feel bad for her. Again, I disagree with everything that led her up to going nuts. Now, my issue is, this is a tiny one, but you can help me out. Should she have gone crazier? And I really thought she didn't go caring enough for me. Yeah. I thought she should have thrown a drink at him. I thought she should have whipped something off.
Yeah.
And that would have made the end a little bit more special for me.
Originally, she was going to throw a glass. That was one of the first drafts. And then it was going to be she, like, the waiter's on the floor, and he slips in the drink that she, like, dropped, and the lemon lands on his face. Like, that was part of the thing. But we had we were very safety conscious. We were just trying to be very, knowing that we're trying to do it quickly, knowing that when you do things quickly, that is often when accidents happen. We were just trying to be very, very cautious and safe. So we felt like assault by lemon was probably good enough.
Okay. Now, everybody, I presume, in the restaurant were an actor of some kind or an extra?
Yeah.
Did you have any issues with people watching it from outside? Because I couldn't see anybody from the window. I did try.
Go back, because there are little girls doing cartwheels.
I did see them, but they weren't watching. You can see them, yes. They're outside bystanders, but I thought they were just playing.
You know, nobody, there were a few people, there's a courtyard there with like cornhole and things. There's restaurants all around, you know. But nobody seemed really bothered. It looked like a normal, it looked like we were just, shooting into, and I guess they probably had some equipment and stuff out there on the sidewalk. But nobody was looking. Nobody really cared. I just didn't know what we were doing. Nobody heard me yelling. I guess they didn't. They would have definitely if they heard me, because it was pretty loud.
Oh, I would say you were loud. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to go back to therapy for 2 seconds, and then I've got everything. Do you think in the future Karen will return to therapy, or she's like, I'm done? Because she's at the beginning, she wants his papers signed.
Right.
And the therapist has even said, I'll sign your papers, but she doesn't seem to want to sign them immediately.
Yeah. No, the idea is every episode, it's episodic, hopefully. I mean, this works as a short, but it's really a short pilot. The idea is that every episode starts at the therapist's office.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Therapy. And so that's where it all starts. And there's always something new. She's always something. We've got stories lined up with like her lawyer, I mean, who tries to help her, but there's a lot of script flipping. I mean, there's all sorts of fun things. Her neighbor is a male Karen, and she hates him. You'd think they'd get along swimmingly, but they hate each other. So there's so many other stories that are just so great, and I can't wait to tell them. But it does revolve around her starting in the therapist's office. It's continued therapy.
So if this gets picked up, you're going to be very excited of getting back into very tight outfits and pulling your hair back and whiting your face again?
I just think she's got more to tell. You know what I mean? Like, I just think there's just more unfolding, more uncovering that needs
to happen. Well, I want to meet her kids. I was wanting to meet, I mean, we meet her husband for one second. He just kind of walks in, and I'm like, well, he's not helping me. He just sort of blank faced.
Oh, my husband?
Yes, he doesn't say anything.
That's the director, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Dean Shortland, he's first-time director. Love him so much. He is a well-loved actor here in Nashville and really throughout the Southeast. But yeah, they have a great relationship. They are a loving couple. We did a lot of storytelling, fleshing that out before we ever wrote the script. There is no contention there. They are in love. Bunny and Bear.
Oh, I didn't think they were. I think it was more shocked that she went crazy.
Right, but more to unfold there and how crazy in love they are, and then also meeting the kids. Yeah.
Okay. I only have three things left for you. You couldn't really prep for them, so you're out of luck.
No worries.
Number one, your favorite film, and it can't be Our Fair Lady because I could see the poster behind you.
Oh, it's you. You'd have to see my whole room. Actually, I'll tell you, Day for Night.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got subtitles, but it is. Wow. Yeah. One of my favorites.
Well, this might answer your next question too, because I mean, not a lot of people have seen Day for Night. Favorite film you recommend to people that ask you, I need something new to watch. I haven't seen it. What do you recommend? Oh,
I got to have a genre. I got to have like, you want to laugh? You want to cry?
I will give you romance. Which is the hardest one to do.
I'll tell you, I just watched You People and it was great. And I'll call that a rom-com. Modern day rom-com.
You People is definitely a rom-com. I've seen it. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That was great. Yeah.
Okay. I know you're from Texas. Now you're in Nashville. You're still in two happening cities. What is your favorite place to visit?
Oh, to visit? Last summer I went to Austria. Man, oh man, it was hard to come home. Okay. Tell you, it was, we did the whole, I mean, I know I totally geeked out. We did the Sound of Music thing, like Salzburg. I was on a bike even. I was on a bike and we turned the corner and went down the dirt road. I'm like, oh, I know this tree line. Oh my God, there's the house. Like had a total geek out moment. Saw the gazebo.
You're allowed to. You're allowed to.
It was good.
Okay, before I let you go, tell everybody where you want them to find your film or anything else you've done, websites. It's a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, IMDb is the jam. It helps my rank too. No, I mean, this is what I've got going on. The next one though, I'm in pre-production for, and it is my next baby project, and it is going to be total departure from Karen, but a really interesting look at trauma and how there is no geographical bounds to its effect on women.
Oh, that sounds heavy.
It's very heavy. It's a North Korean refugee and her interaction with an asylum attorney.
Wow.
Yeah. Heavy.
I'm more Karen then, because I'm all for the comedy. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Thanks so much. Best to you.